On the show today, we have Backbase's very own Mike Fife. He's here talking about how credit unions are this untapped resource for borrowers during recession. So really, really good stuff here from Mike. Very timely stuff as well from Mike. So check it out. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Backbase's very own Mike Fife on the program. Mike, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. You're welcome. And thanks and welcome to the show. And today we're talking about how credit unions are untapped resources for borrowers during recessions. And oh my gosh, what a coincidence. There's this rumor out there that maybe there might be a recession next year. So how timely this conversation is going to be. So I want to cut to the chase here, Mike. I'm going to start out with the topic at hand here, that question right up front. So how are credit unions untapped resources, especially for borrowers during recessions? Because I mean, credit unions want to be, they want to be a financial resource for everything pretty much. But in this case, we're talking recession. So how are they this untapped resource here?
Yeah, that's a good question. And in my role in Backbase, I'm working directly with a lot of mid-sized to very, very small credit unions.
Oh, are you? Okay, good.
Far-flung cities across the U.S. So
awesome.
We have customers who are implementing digital platforms in faraway places like Saginaw, Michigan, to Olympia, Washington, to, you know, cities that you and I have never been to in like West Texas, right? And the reason why they're untapped resources, frankly, is because of two things. One is they know their local communities, and local communities are often affected by those local industries that are specific to that very small region, often within a town,
mm-hmm.
or maybe within a little bit of a larger region.
Yeah.
And credit unions, because they're fundamentally nonprofit, they have the opportunity then to offer services that offer either higher interest rates if it's a depository product, or lower interest rates like a lending product, auto, personal,
mm-hmm.
Or business, unsecured and secured lending. They can actually offer rates that are far more competitive
yeah.
than larger banks who have to answer to shareholders. So those two things, their knowledge of the local community and the ebbs and flows of that local economy,
mm-hmm.
plus their ability to not have profit be the driving motive behind their lending decisions, as well as their risk management decisions, you know, are driven less by macro policies that are set in New York, but rather with micro policies driven at the local level at the discretion of the company.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
Uh-oh. I think Mike froze.
Yeah.
Ivy, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still
okay.
here.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, maybe he'll come back.
Yeah. Let's give him a few. If not, I'll message him.
Yeah, so if he needs to log off, he can log off and log back on. We'll just stay on for it. Oh,
yeah.
He was on such a roll, too. He was doing so
I know.
Well.
He was doing so well. Okay.
Yeah, let them know we're hanging out. And
technology.
I know. Oh, this Zoom thing. I'm not sure if Zoom's going to make it. So I think it's just a trend.
Yeah. I mean, the pandemic definitely, like, people were over it prior to the pandemic. And then with the pandemic, yeah, I don't know. Zoom, you would think it would improve by now.
Well, I mean, it's getting more and more rare that this mm-hmm. happens. So, you know, like you said at the beginning of it, this happened quite a bit, but now I think probably one in every 25 interviews or maybe 30 or 50 or something like that, this happens. So it's getting much, much, much better. It's almost like you don't even realize it anymore. This is something like this. When this happens, it's such an anomaly now. Whereas before it was like, oh gosh, here we go again. So, but,
Interesting. We don't really use Zoom. Aspectus uses Teams.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know that, but that is actually interesting to know.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that this happens now. I think everybody's bandwidth is pretty much up to speed. Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but most everybody's bandwidth is pretty much up to speed now to where mm-hmm. video isn't that big a deal. So, no worries. We'll roll with it.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. He just needs a second.
Okay. Hey, this is my last interview of the day, so tell him to take his time.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was your holiday?
Thanksgiving was great. Yeah, we just kind of stayed local. We didn't hop on an airplane or anything like that. So yeah, we stayed local, and it was actually really warm out here in San Diego. So it was kind of hard to get in the Thanksgiving spirit, if you will. But it was great though. Yeah, we got hung out with the kiddos and the family, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, nice. Actually, I didn't know you were based in San Diego. I'm mm-hmm. actually going to go visit San Diego. I'm flying out tomorrow night. My friend moved over there. So I'm going to go spend some time with her.
Okay. Bring a jacket because it's cooler than normal out here. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good tip.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like today and only the high was only 61 where we were. So, or where we are.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
I know. Let me see. I'm checking it for you right now. Let me just do San Diego. I'll do Carlsbad. So that's more. Are you going to be on the coast? Are you going to be inland? Do you know? Or
she lives near like 15 minutes from the airport. So.
Okay. So a little coastal. So yeah, probably. So yeah. So yeah. The highs are in the low 60s. The lows are in the 40s.
Okay. So, yeah. That's not bad. I'm based in New York, so.
Oh, this is nice. Summertime for you. Could be.
Yeah, I'm excited to get some sun.
Being wearing shorts and a tank top, my gosh.
Yeah, straight from the airplane, just on. Take the puffer jacket off and be like, it's summertime.
Take me to the beach. Come on. This is nothing. So, well, this is freezing for us. I mean, anything when it gets below 60, people are screaming like, what is going on? The world is ending.
That's funny.
I kid you not. People will dress up in parkas and ski attire and things like that if it's below 60 degrees out here. They do.
No.
They will wear the full ski attire if it's under 60 degrees.
Wow.
It's crazy. Wow. Yeah. We are weather wimps out here. Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Yeah, sorry about that. You know what? I'm not even sure what happened. Then I had to look out the window because they are laying Google Fiber in the neighborhood and I don't see a truck. So.
Darn those Google people. I tell you. You are on such a roll too. You're doing so well, Mike.
Yeah, we can just start that question over there.
We're still recording, so we can just start it right over. And we'll just mosey on from there and keep our fingers crossed that those Google people aren't sabotaging our phone, our call, our Zoom call. So.
No doubt.
All right, Mike. All right, let's do this one more time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, Mike. So let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut to the topic at hand, if you will. So how are credit unions untapped resources for borrowers during recessions? Because credit unions, they want to be that primary financial resource for all things. But in this case, we're talking recession, obviously, and borrowing. So how are they that untapped resource for members out there?
Well, in my current role at Backbase, I'm working with credit unions, both large and small across the country. And oftentimes these credit unions are serving very small communities. And credit unions have two distinct advantages when we're approaching perhaps a downturn. One is they know the local economy that drives their local members in the communities they serve.
Yep.
So most communities go up and down according to maybe a single or only a couple of industries. And so credit unions are well positioned to know what their community needs. Number two, then the obvious answer is that they can offer more competitive rates, both from an interest rate perspective on depository products, so higher rates than say your larger mega conglomerate banks. And they can also offer lower interest rates on lending products, everything from personal loans to auto loans to other types of even business loans. And so those two factors really enable a credit union to step up and serve their local community, living up to their original charter. And also, the way they do credit risk evaluation is also subject to their local conditions, not driven by some macro model that's coming out of, say, New York or San Francisco.
Yeah.
So they can make exceptions or devise risk policies that are more in accordance with their local community needs, which is a massive benefit. So they really have an opportunity to serve their members here.
Oh, completely. And as we all know, during a recession, we're all pinching our pennies. So we're looking to save money or make money in creative ways. And like you said, yeah, credit unions are ideal for that. So, and in the background information in there, it said that credit unions have an outsized opportunity and ability to help smaller communities weather the recession. Can you expand on this a little bit? Because I found this very interesting.
Yeah, credit unions by definition, their origin story is a group of community members pooling their money so that they can have a place to store it, and then they can lend against it, borrow against it when times are in need. And so like we're working with a credit union, for example, in the upper Midwest, when they started with a bunch of telco employees pooling their money, or a teachers association pooling their money. And so that's their charter. And so they have a strong opportunity now to lean into the nonprofit side of their business model, that they're here to serve the communities. That's their origin story, where they came from. And in times like this, it's really their opportunity to step up and let the community know, we're here to service you, and you're not going to get the type of rejection you might if you're dealing with kind of a cold, soulless larger bank, right? Who doesn't know you and I personally, because we don't go to the same high school football games and things
like that. Right, yeah. You are exactly right on that one. Spot on, sir. So how does a credit union, let's talk about the model here for a second here. So how does the credit union model allow credit unions to fill the gaps left in those banking deserts that we talk about so often for communities with no brick and mortar retail, you know, banking options who may feel the sting of the recession here? So yeah, we're talking about the model here and then dealing with those banking deserts that are out there.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of underserved communities out there, underbanked people. And oftentimes these are more in sections of rural America or ex-urban America, outside the confines of an urban environment. And there, you know, you're kind of on your own in the sense where you may not even have a large banking branch nearby of a major bank, but you know your local community. And even if there's not a retail location of a local credit union, the local people in the community know their local credit unions. I'll give you an example. We're working with a credit union in Wyoming, and they're dealing with fairly rural, like rural members who live far away from the downtown centers of the major capitals of Wyoming. And even those cities are not very large.
Yeah, you're right.
So the operating model is, you know, they need to be able to reach out to and connect with these community members who are otherwise distant. And so the opportunity, I think, for credit unions is to be able to lean into a digital-first strategy. Mm-hmm. Digital-first strategy in eras past was out of reach. It was too expensive. You needed to have a lot of development resources. Today, companies like Backbase and others are making it more possible for a firm like a credit union to build out a mobile app that seamlessly, for example, can let a member evaluate a lending option. I need a personal loan because times are tight. Mm-hmm. I need it for a short duration. And so there's a lot of lending products that let the credit union step up and fill that gap, because they'll have some degree of name recognition, but still offer a frictionless ability to onboard that member and then offer them something unique that the other banks don't have an interest in touching because,
oh my gosh,
it's high risk or what. So that's how they kind of get into those, that gap area, that desert area. Customers who maybe might not have been serviced by a larger bank, they can become members of a local credit union and then get the service they deserve.
Yeah, you took the thought right out of my brain, because I was thinking the same thing, because a lot of banks have pulled out of these areas, I mean, these remote areas and even urban areas as well, they've pulled out. So, and these banking deserts are getting more and more prominent, which serves as a great opportunity, like you said, for credit unions to move in and help these folks out, especially with a recession around the corner. So yeah, so they're going to be looking for a resource. So like you said, this is a prime opportunity. Oh my gosh. And I like how you touched on the technology aspect of it, especially the digital aspect of it. So, and that leads me to my next question is, how are credit unions successfully harnessing the power of technology to keep up with the demands of their members, especially during difficult times? Because it sounds like the digital aspect of it is really going to step up once again, like it did in the pandemic.
Yeah, and how they're doing is they're beginning to build out digital first applications, the means through which a consumer like you and I can use our mobile device, iPhone or Android, to log in and access all the banking services that previously you literally had to walk into a branch to get, you know, to hand over paperwork, to confirm your identity. And so the technology that we're building into these mobile apps include ways I can seamlessly look at your face and identify who you are.
Yeah.
I can pull information on you and confirm that, yes, indeed, you are a real human being with a heartbeat. And then I can also do things like confirm your income and verify that, yes, you are a good candidate for an auto loan because you need a new work truck or what have you. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the American credit union is taking lessons that we've seen around the world in other parts of like, for example, Africa, where those communities in far-flung sub-Saharan Africa, they jumped right over the landline revolution, right over the PC revolution, and jumped right to the mobile revolution. And now all of a sudden they can access financial services that they would have had to travel miles to acquire otherwise.
Yeah.
Same thing for credit unions here in the U.S. In these rural communities, but there's an opportunity to reach out and make these members, convert them to becoming members, mm-hmm. and then offer them products because they don't have to leave the comfy confines of their own couch if they have a mobile device. And we all know today the penetration of mobile devices, I believe there's about 4x mobile devices in the country than humans. And so everybody pretty much has at least access to one. Mm-hmm. And that really does open the playing field and levels it out for these underserved or underbanked communities.
Yeah. And the younger generations, they, as we all know, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but they live on the phone. So even more incentive to shore up your mobile banking channel for sure. Especially again, with that looming recession right around the corner, people are going to be looking for creative ways to serve those folks out in remote areas. And I'm so glad you brought up the Africa example. Yeah. Talk about that so many times. They didn't have like the legacy systems that we have here to like overcome and get past and peel away those layers. So yeah, kudos to those folks for really jumping that legacy boat for sure. So yeah.
Yeah, we're also seeing, you mentioned the younger generation. So take Generation Z, a very large demographic. They're digital first. They have a negative degree of interest in speaking to a human in a brand. They'd much rather access and then connect with you via mobile device. And so the technology that credit unions can now evaluate easier with a lower cost of ownership of these technologies include ways to digitally verify your identity, but also ways to chat or connect or use virtual agents to talk to and connect with these members in a way that previously would have had to been face-to-face. Today's generation doesn't want face-to-face. They prefer digital interaction. These tools enable it, make it much easier.
Yeah. And I like you're saying a negative degree of interest. All right. I'm going to use that. So, all righty. Hey, Mike, anything else to add? I mean, we could probably talk another half hour on this for sure, but I know you have work to do. But anything else to add to this? Any final thoughts here to wrap up here?
No, other than to say that, yeah, credit unions really are on the brink of a great opportunity, and these local communities really need the help. And so it's good. It's good for them, the credit unions, and good for the members they serve.
Yep. Agreed. All righty, sir. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Mike, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing with us your expertise in this area and how credit unions can be these untapped resources in challenging times, if you will. Be very interesting to see what happens in 2023. But appreciate your time, sir, and your expertise, and look forward to the next chat.
Thank you.